Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Dan Novak reports on what has already been a record-breaking summer in many places. Anna Mateo and Katie Weaver present the next part of our early literacy series. Finally, our parks journey continues with a visit to Death Valley National Park. But first,
at about summer's halfway point, scientists say the world's record-breaking heat and weather extremes are both unprecedented and unsurprising. American and European meteorologists also expect a hotter-than-normal August and September. Gavin Schmidt is a NASA climate scientist. He told the Associated Press, "The heat waves that we're seeing in the U.S. and in Europe, in China, are demolishing records left, right, and center. This is not a surprise. We are going to be seeing this pretty much this year and into next year," Schmidt said. Along with human-caused climate change, there is also the natural El Niño warming of the Pacific Ocean. Here is a look at what has happened so far this summer. The month of June this year was the hottest June on record in the world. Scientists say July has been so hot that even before the month was over, they could say it was the hottest month on record. In some places, the heat has been deadly. In Phoenix, Arizona, the last day of June and each day of July has been at least 43 degrees Celsius. The area also set records for the longest period, with temperatures at 32 and higher. El Paso, Texas, had 44 days of 37-degree heat. Schools closed in Nuevo León State in northern Mexico a month earlier than normal, as temperatures reached 45 degrees. Beijing, China, experienced 27 days of 35 degrees in July. That came after three 40-degree days in June. Heat records fell all over southern Europe. Sardinia, Italy, hit 47 degrees. Palermo in Sicily broke a record that goes back to 1791 by 2 degrees. Spain reported nearly 1,000 extra deaths from the heat by mid-July, mostly among older people. More than 10,000 people had to be evacuated in central Hunan province in China. Heavy rainfall there caused at least 70 houses to collapse. In Yichang, rain caused a landslide that buried a construction site and killed at least one person. Australia's Queensland desert got 13 times its normal monthly July rain in just one day. Thousands of people were evacuated from Delhi in India as rains caused floods and landslides. Heavy rain and flooding caused several deaths in northeastern states of the U.S. Too little rain in Greece and Spain worsened wildfires. In the Canary Islands, a fire caused 4,000 people to evacuate and 400 firefighters battling it. Hot and dry conditions caused about 160 wildfires to break out in Israel in early June. In northern Quebec, Canada, wildfire smoke spread to create the world's dirtiest air in cities like New York and Washington, D.C. As of late July, more than 600 wildfires were out of control in Canada. A record 123,000 square kilometers burned, and fire season is not nearly done. I'm Dan Novak.
Coming up, we will listen to the next part of our early literacy series. Today's episode discusses phonological, or sound language, awareness. Katie Weaver joins me now to talk a bit more about this topic. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's start with a simple question. What is phonological awareness?
The ability to hear sounds in language and work with them is called phonological awareness. Phonological awareness begins with easy skills and moves to more difficult ones. But these skills can and usually do overlap.
What does this sound language awareness look like? What are students with sound language awareness able to do?
Great question. Here are some things students with early phonological awareness can do. Find and make rhymes, count words in a sentence, and count the number of beats or syllables in a word.
And what does more advanced phonological awareness enable them to do?
Students with advanced sound language awareness can blend small sounds into words. Hear the same sounds in a word like Ashley and apple. Hear the same ending sounds like ball and fall. They can also hear the same middle sounds like bag and tag.
Good to know, Katie. And thanks again for coming on the show today.
I'm always happy to chat.
Now let's hear Anna Mateo and Katie Weaver present the next part of our early literacy series.
Spoken language is made up of sounds. If students want to read, they must be aware of the sound-language connection. Phonological awareness. The ability to hear sounds in language and work with them is called phonological awareness. Phonological awareness begins with easy skills and moves to more difficult ones. It is important to note that the development of these skills may overlap. Phonemic awareness. The smallest part of the spoken language is called a phoneme. A student with phonemic awareness can hear individual sounds and work with them. Phonemic awareness also allows students to understand that the sounds of spoken language work together to make words.
We will talk about phonemic awareness a little later in this article. But for now, know that it is the most advanced type of phonological awareness. What does phonological awareness look like? Students with early phonological awareness can find and make rhymes, count words in a sentence, count the number of beats or syllables in a word. Students with advanced phonological awareness can blend small sounds into words, hear the same first sounds like toe and tip, hear the same ending sounds like sun and bin. Hear the same middle sounds like bag and tag.
Teaching tips for phonological awareness. It is important to know the difference between the name of a letter and the sound of a letter. A letter between two slashes shows its sound. So the letter T between two slashes represents the sound T. Students should learn each letter by its sound. At an early stage, say the sound of the letter, not the letter name. This will help students blend words later on. For example, when teaching the letter N, say N as in net, not N. When teaching letter sounds, do not add vowel sounds. For example, when saying the letter F, do not say the sound F. Just say F. Adding the eh vowel sound at the beginning of the letter makes it harder to blend the sounds in a word later. The most common example is the letter S. Simply say S. Do not say S. Students later may say a school, a scared, a snake, which would be incorrect.
Teach easier consonants first. Some languages lack some sounds, such as f and v. Don't teach those to your students first. Some consonants are easier to say. You can stretch them out, saying them for a longer amount of time. They are M, S, F, L, R, N, V, and Z. Some consonants end sharply with a puff of air. They are a little harder to say. They are B, C, D, G, P, T, K, and J. Some consonants are simply difficult to say and are less common. Teach them last. They are H, W, Y, X, Q. However, some English sounds do not exist in other languages. If students have trouble with some sounds, teach easier ones first.
Teach short vowel sounds first. Long vowel sounds may be easier to say, but short vowel sounds are in many easy words, such as mat and sun. However, short vowel sounds can be confusing, so first teach them separately, then all together. What does phonemic awareness look like? As we said earlier, phonemic awareness is the most advanced type of phonological awareness. Students with phonemic awareness can do the following. Sound isolation. They can hear a single sound in a word and isolate it.
What is the first sound in bug?
The first sound in bug is b. They can identify and group sounds or phonemes. Students can identify sounds that are the same. These sounds may come at the beginning, the middle, or the end of words. Identifying middle sounds is more advanced than identifying beginning or ending sounds. They can break apart sounds, also called segmenting phonemes. Segmenting is the ability to break a word into smaller sounds.
How many sounds in flag?
F, U-A-G, flag. Flag has four sounds. They can blend sounds together, also called blending phonemes. Blending is the ability to say separate sounds together to make a word.
What word is this? B-A-G.
Bag.
Blending and segmenting are the most important phonemic awareness skills. These are two phonemic awareness skills most linked to fluency. Both segmenting and blending should be practiced regularly.
They can lose a sound to make new words, also called deletion.
Pin. If I take away the p sound, what do I have left?
In. They can add a sound to make new words, also called addition.
Lap. If I add the th sound to the beginning, what word do I have?
Flap. They can change a sound to make new words, also called substitution.
If I take away the s in sat and add p, what word do I have?
Pat. Teaching tips for phonemic awareness. Use words your students know. When doing phonemic awareness activities with your class, use words from a story your students are currently reading. It is helpful to use words the students already know.
Focus on sounds, not the letters. The focus of phonemic activities should be on the sounds of words and not on the letters or spelling. However, you can teach phonemic awareness while teaching meaning and pronunciation. Identify sounds that are different or the same in the home language in comparison to English.
Assessment for phonological awareness. Students with poor phonemic awareness skills cannot do the following. Isolate single sounds in a word. Break up or segment single sounds in a word. Paper, pay, per. Blend sounds into words. S, at, set. Add, delete, or substitute sounds. Here are some questions for assessing phonological awareness. Count words in a spoken sentence.
How many words are in this sentence? You are my friend.
Four. Do they rhyme?
Do these words rhyme? Bit, sit.
Yes.
Do the words big and bag rhyme?
No. Syllable blending.
I am going to say a word in parts. Listen. O. Pen. What word did I say?
Open. Syllable deletion.
Say sat without the at.
S. Syllable substitution.
If I take the s away from sit and replace it with p, what word do I have?
Pit. Use the tips, strategies, and assessment methods that best serve your learners. Change them to fit your students and your teaching situation. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Today, we visit a place of strange and silent beauty. As beautiful as this place is, its name, provides evidence of very real danger. We are exploring Death Valley National Park. Death Valley is a land of beautiful yet dangerous extremes. It has nearly 1.4 million hectares of desert and mountains. There are mountains that reach more than 3,000 meters into the sky. The valley's Badwater Basin area is the lowest land in the Western Hemisphere. It lies 86 meters below sea level. Death Valley can be dangerously cold during the winter months. Storms in the mountains can cause sudden floods on the floor of the valley. But during summer months, the air temperature has been as high as 57 degrees Celsius. The extreme heat of Death Valley has killed people in the past. Death Valley does not forgive those who are not careful.
Within Death Valley National Park is evidence of several ancient volcanoes that caused huge explosions. Evidence of one of these explosions is called Yubihibi Crater. The explosion left a huge hole in the ground, almost a kilometer and a half wide. In many areas of Death Valley, it is easy to see where the ground has been pushed up violently by movement deep in the earth. This has created unusual and beautiful rock formations with colors of red, brown, gray, yellow, and black. In other parts of Death Valley, there are lines in the rock. The lines are evidence of the past presence of water. The area was deep under an ocean for many thousands of years. Much of Death Valley is flat and extremely dry. In fact, scientists believe it is the driest place in the United States. In some areas, the ground is nothing but salt. Nothing is able to grow in this salty ground.
However, it would be wrong to think that nothing lives in Death Valley. The valley is full of life. Wildflowers grow very quickly, even after a small amount of rain. Some desert plants can send their roots down more than 18 meters to reach water deep in the ground. Several kinds of birds live in Death Valley, as do mammals and reptiles. Visitors might see the dog-like animal called the coyote, or wild bighorn sheep, or other animals like the desert jackrabbit, the desert tortoise, and a large reptile called a chuckwalla. Many different snakes live there too. Some are dangerous, like the sidewinder rattlesnake. It is an extremely poisonous snake with long, sharp teeth, or fangs. Throughout history, Native Americans found ways to survive in Death Valley. Rock art and other remains show that humans lived in the valley as far back as 9,000 years ago.
Death Valley is a huge place. It extends more than 225 kilometers across the southern part of California into the neighboring state of Nevada. The valley is part of the Mojave Desert. The area got its name in 1849. That was the year after gold was discovered in California. Thousands of people from around the country traveled to the gold mining areas of the state. They were in a hurry to get there before other people did. Many people were not careful during their travels. One group trying to reach California decided to take a path called the Old Spanish Trail. By December, they had reached Death Valley. They did not have to survive the terrible heat of summer, but there was still an extreme lack of water. There were too few plants for their work animals to eat. The people could not find a pass through the tall mountains to the west of the valley. Slowly, they began to suffer from a lack of food. To survive, they killed their work animals for food and began to walk out of the valley. As they left, a woman in the group looked back and said, "Goodbye, Death Valley." The name has never been changed.
Death Valley officially became a national park in 1994. It is the largest national park in the lower 48 states. More than 1 million people visit the park each year. Titus Canyon is one of the most popular places to visit in the park. It has huge mountains, colorful rocks, ancient rock art, and rare plants. There is even a ghost town, a town that has been abandoned by all its residents. Death Valley is full of ghost towns. Many people visit Death Valley in late winter and early spring, when wildflowers come to life there. The harsh desert floor becomes very colorful.
Some visitors come to Death Valley for just a day. Tour buses bring travelers from Las Vegas, Nevada. They ride around the park in their bus, visit several places, and are back in their Las Vegas hotel by night. However, many other visitors stay in the park. The most popular area to stay in is Furnace Creek. Furnace Creek is the largest area of human activity within Death Valley National Park. There is a hotel as well as places to camp. The historic inn at Furnace Creek is built on a low hill. The main public room in the hotel has large windows that look far out over Death Valley. Hotel guests gather near these large windows in the evening to watch the sun make long shadows on the floor of the valley and on the far mountains. This beautiful image seems to change each minute. The sun slowly turns the valley a gold color that deepens to a soft brown, then changes to a dark red. As night comes, the mountains turn a dark purple color, then black. Usually, visitors are very quiet as they watch the setting sun. A few try to photograph it. But the valley is too huge to capture in a photo. Most visitors leave only with the memory of the fiery sunset in the extraordinary Death Valley National Park. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm